Psalms 100. Ready? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless the preaching of the Bible tonight. Lord, and thank you for this. What a great, great way to start the new year off. Psalms 1, Psalms 23, now Psalms 100. I pray that you'll bless this first Sunday, this first Sunday night service, Lord, of a brand new year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I entitled my Sunday school lesson today, How to Have the Most Blessings of Your Life, because I believe that's what Psalms 1 teaches us, is how to live the blessed life. And then this morning I preached on the subject of how to have the best year of your life. And we went through Psalms 23, and boy, that was enjoyable and a blessing and so practical for us. And then Psalms 100, how to have the best spirit of your life. How to have the best spirit of your life. This Psalms contains a lot of things, but if you shake it real hard, it'll fall into three categories, three main themes, and some fall a little out of this verse, and a little part comes out of this verse, but what you're going to see is good Bible instruction that will help you to maintain a good spirit. Folks, this is a mean, hard world that we live in, and there's a lot of things that honestly have the potential to sour our hearts and sour our spirit. I'm talking about the best of the best of the best people. They're doing everything they can to have a good spirit about it. We just get overwhelmed at times. There's a lot of things that are harmful and hurtful, and the devil's certainly busy, and good night. If you haven't found anything to be discouraged about, turn on the news at the end of the day. They'll give you plenty to be discouraged about. But you know what? Despite all of what's been going on, you know what? You can have a good spirit. You can live on the victory side. And so I'm going to shake it hard. Three things are going to fall out. Here it is. Here's the first way. Here's the first way that you have the best spirit of your life. Embrace a proper relationship with God. Embrace a proper relationship with God. Now, the first thing that this psalm does is it establishes who God is and what our relationship, a proper relationship with him, is supposed to be. All right, let's look at that. Well, what is the proper relationship with God? Now, if we have a proper relationship with God, this is key in having the proper spirit then. If we are mixed up with our relationship with God, then our spirit's never going to be right. Let me see if I can illustrate this. I got a job at United Parcel Service, and I worked there for 6 years loading semis while I worked my way through Bible college. And I can tell you this, I saw a lot of people come, and I saw a lot of people go in 6 years. I saw a lot of people that came in and had the worst spirit you ever seen as far as employees, and I've worked along guys that's had the best spirit they've ever had. And you know what the main reason was, the main difference was between those two things? One of them understood their relationship with their employer, and one of them didn't understand their relationship with their employer. When you get an employee that is hired and they fail to understand that there is a relationship an employee has with an employer. By the way, New Testament gives us some instruction on this, all right? You know, if a guy feels like that, if he has an entitlement mentality and he feels like that company only exists to make him happy and to give him money, and shouldn't at any point have any expectations towards him, he's going to be a miserable, complaining, critical employee. And, you know, every once in a while I'd have to work alongside a guy and say, wait a minute, stop a minute. Do they pay you or do you pay them? Did they hire you or did you hire them? Are you the boss or are you the employee? And you know what? Again, we all fight this old pride thing. But you know, the honest truth is, I had a great spirit. I enjoyed, and by the way, that was not an easy company to work for. It was not. Very high, very demanding company, very high standards, very high levels of excellence, high accountability. But you know what, folks? They also wrote me a pretty good check at the end of every week.
And you know what? Here's what we need to stop. Listen, I promise you this. Before you ever show up on the first day at the job, I can tell you whether or not it's going to be good or bad for you, not based on the job, but based on your attitude towards your boss. I can tell you, young people, before you ever enroll in Blessed Hope Christian School, whether or not it's going to be a good experience for you or not, depending on your attitude towards those in authority. I can tell some of you young people what your attitude is going to be, whether or not you with your parents, whether or not you recognize the Bible principles concerning who's the parent and who's the child and whose responsibilities is whose. And if you get those things figured out in life, then you know what? You can have a good spirit in just about every situation. Now, one of the biggest problems we have that really is a trickle down to all of our other problems is that sometimes we're mixed up concerning our relationship with God. So what this psalm first of all does is establish in verse number 3 is this. We need to understand who God is and who we are. Who God is and who we are. All right? Isn't it interesting that verse 3 starts this way? Know ye that the Lord, he is God. All right? So are you God? Who's God? Yeah, the Lord. Do you know that? Do you really know that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I mean, have you come to peace with that? Okay, he's God, you're not. There was an old evangelist, I think I've shared this with you, and he said to me one time, he said, you know what? He said, I've studied the Bible for 50 years, and I've learned two things. Number one, there is a God. Number two, I'm not him. It'd be a good thing to go ahead and realize. Folks, there's a God, capital G, all right? He's God, I'm not God. That's our relationship. All right? It goes on to say this. Not only he is God, know ye that the Lord is God, but it goes on to say this. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. He's the creator. We're the creation. I'm talking about fixing your spirit. Right now, some of you are already bristling. That is the reason you have a bad spirit in almost every relationship of your life. Because if you can't accept that God has a right to be your God and your creator has a right to have expectations, then you know what? You're going to struggle in every other relationship in your life. Folks, guess what? He's God. I'm not. The God is the one who gets to make the rules. I'm the one that gets to live by the rules. I'm all right with that. I'm fine with that. He created me. I didn't create myself. Think about that. He chose to make you. He didn't have to make you. He chose to. His own hands, according to Jeremiah chapter 1, formed you in your mother's womb. He had a plan and has a plan for your life. He put you on this planet to accomplish something for him. I was thinking when I wrote that, I typed that in my note. I typed this sentence. He put me on this planet to accomplish some things for him and for eternity. And my mind, my heart was drawn back to the early days of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, back in the garage days. And you know what? When there wasn't a whole lot of special music, we're blessed now, but there wasn't a whole lot of special music. The early days of the church, Mom did a lot of the singing, most of the singing. Her and Lori did a lot of duets together. Besides that, them and Harry McDonald did a lot of singing. He'd get up and he'd sing without a piano. I don't know if I ever heard Harry McDonald sing with the piano. Beautiful voice, beautiful baritone voice. But you know what? One of the songs that Mom would sing in the early days of the church was called An Unfinished Task. An unfinished task. If I carry the gospel to the lost near and far, I won't stand empty-handed at God's judgment bar. But I dare not relax until I've done all he's asked. Then I won't leave behind an unfinished task. I'm glad I was a little boy growing up listening to that song. I'm glad that song still is in my heart and still haunts me at times. For those who have fought and run the race, who have kept the faith, these words I long to hear my Savior say. So when my life on earth is past, there's just one thing, dear Lord, I ask. Don't let me leave behind an unfinished task. Boy, that ought to haunt us. God didn't just put you on this earth so that you could do whatever you wanted to do. He put you on this earth to accomplish his will. And oh, what a horrible thing to be born and to be given this gift of life and to have the creator of the universe find me and save me. And have a plan for my life and things that he wants me to accomplish and to show up one day at the judgment seat. Unfinished tasks. There was a man that I was in his home with. And I'm going to be careful because This wasn't that terribly long ago. It was a few years back. But it was a man here, and he came to church here but didn't come faithfully. Matter of fact, really randomly, him and his wife would come to church. And you know what? He did that off and on for years. By the way, he loved me. Anytime he needed counsel or had a question, he'd call me. I was his preacher. But I just never could get him locked in even to be a faithful Sunday morning person. And he contracted cancer. And you know what? That cancer took a hold pretty fast. And he started going downhill. And I've sat many a time in his living room during that process, praying with him and counseling with him. And it was a terrible thing. Honestly, to watch him suffer was a terrible thing. And one day, when he was towards the end, he looked up at me. And he said, Pastor, he said, I hate to die. He said, not because I fear. By the way, I got to lead him to his, I'll take that back. A member of our church led him to the Lord. I got to lead his wife to the Lord. And so I know that he was saved. Clear-cut testimony. We talked about it several times right up to the day that he died. But he looked at me and he said, Pastor, he said, I hate to die, and I hate to die at my age. He said, not because I'm afraid of where I'm going to go. I know I'm going to go to heaven. But he said, Preacher, I just feel like that I never have accomplished what God put me on this earth to accomplish. Tears filled his eyes. And I thought to myself, I don't want to get to my deathbed. I don't want to be breathing my last breath with that burden on my heart. Find time for God. There's nothing more important than finding and accomplish God's will for your life. Nothing. You see, he's the creator. What else does it say? He's our redeemer. Notice what it goes on to say this. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people. Now that word his is a pronoun, and it's a possessive pronoun. We are his people. That means that we belong to him. Okay, he redeemed us. He bought us. He purchased us. So I don't own God. God owns me. Are you with me so far? Are you there? Okay. He's God. I'm not. He's the creator. I didn't create me. Because I didn't create me, I don't have a right to take control of his creation and do with it what I want to do. He owns me. I don't own myself. You say, Preacher, is there a Bible with that? Well, of course there is. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Now, folks, the minute we settle these relationship issues, all of a sudden, most of what is causing our attitude problems just starts to dissipate. Okay, God's God, I'm not. God's the creator, I'm the creation. God's the owner, and he owns me. I don't own him. How about this? Didn't we preach on this Sunday? He's the shepherd. We're the sheep of his pasture. Now, see, we're establishing relationship here. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So again, I'm not the shepherd. I'm the sheep. He's the shepherd. Now, when you embrace these relationships, understand them, surrender to them, rejoice in them, revel in them, love them. You know what, folks? Watch this. See, so many times we want to be in charge. You know what I've learned in life? Be careful what you wish for. Most people that work for somebody else wish they were the business owner. Go ahead and be the business owner. You might decide it wasn't so bad working for somebody. You'd be surprised how many assistant pastors just spend their life eat up because they want to be a pastor. And then when they get to pastor, they look back and say, man alive, I sure had it made as an assistant pastor. What? Be careful what you wish for in life. And what I'm saying here is watch this. Don't wish to be the shepherd. Be glad that you got a shepherd. Be glad that you have a capable shepherd and an omniscient shepherd and an all-knowing shepherd and an all-wise shepherd and an almighty shepherd. Because I'm none of those things. I'd rather him lead the way than me try to figure this thing out. And I like that. It says this. It says we are his sheep, and it says we are the sheep of, you see that again? His pasture. Okay, all right. Listen, I've got pasture land over at my property. All right, I've got some pasture land. Okay, somebody comes over and puts their livestock on my pasture land, then I want them to know, hey, your livestock's on my pasture. Okay, folks, guess what? Me and you get to live on his pasture. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So not only did God own you and buy you and created you and he's your God, but the very planet that you're on belongs to him, not you. We are sheep of his pasture. Are we getting this relationship figured out? Some of you are sitting there, preacher, and I settled these things a long time ago. I know, that's why you got a great attitude. That's why you don't struggle a whole lot with your spirit. Some of you are still trying to figure these things out. Let God be God in your life. Let him be God. And then we jump down to verse number 5, and we see these things. He is good. He's good. So he's our God. He's our creator. He's our redeemer. He's our shepherd. He's good. No matter what happens, God is good. Settled that. Guess what? It makes me have a good spirit about things. How about this? He's merciful. He's merciful. Hey, listen, understand that. Hey, I called Brother Hamlet. Double check. Hey, I've got you written down. I've got saved the first Sunday. Now, folks, when I called Bob Hamlin and I said, you know the first thing I said, Brother Hamlin, how you doing? And you know the first thing he said. And what did he say? Better than I deserve. If you've had any interaction with Bob Hamlin in your life, and if you've ever asked him the question, how you doing? Better than I deserve. You say, preacher, wait a minute. This man's dying of cancer. Better than I deserve. You know why? Because sometime in his past, he figured this relationship out. Okay, listen. You know what God is in your life and my life? Listen. Merciful. 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 Well, life's not fair. You ought to be glad it's not. If I got fair, I'd be burning in hell right now. And so would you. And so would you. You know how you keep your good spirit? Listen, my worst day on this earth, I don't know what it'll be, but my worst day on this earth is a billion, million times better than the best day I would have had in hell. So you know what? On my very worst day, you know what? I can get to the end of the day and look up and say, Lord, you sure were merciful. You sure were merciful. Boy. I'm talking about how to have the best spirit of your life. He's the possessor and keeper of all truth. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Now, folks, watch this. This helps you fix your attitude and keep your attitude right. He is the possessor and keeper of all truth. And so if I want to know the truth, and I want to learn truth, I go to his book. And whatever his book says is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God and the truth are simultaneous. And so watch this. You know what? It keeps my spirit right. It keeps my attitude right. Listen, you say, preacher, and I'm hearing this. God help us. I have a right to my opinion. Okay? As if, you know what? I've got a right to my opinion. Well, excuse me. But you don't. You've got a right as a child of God to God's opinion. Again, that's what's hurting your spirit. You get wrong thinking, worldly thinking. You think wrong, so you feel wrong, so you start acting wrong. Guess what, folks? Listen, I'm not interested in forming my opinion about something. I'm interested in studying the Bible and finding out what God's opinion is and adopting his opinion as my opinion. Does that help somebody here tonight? And what I'm saying is the very foundational things that lead people to begin to have a wrong attitude or a wrong spirit is in this matter of our pride and our resistance towards God's position in our life and where he is and where we are. And if you want to have the best spirit of your life, embrace a proper relationship with God. 7 things in this chapter that we've learned about God. 7 things that shouldn't surprise you in God. Isn't that his number? He is our God, he's our creator, he's our redeemer, he's our shepherd, he's good, he's merciful, he is the possessor and keeper of all truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. And you settle those 7 things, I promise you, 98% of your spirit and your attitude battles in life disappears. Number 1, embrace a proper relationship with God. Number 2, I'm going to give you this one. Serve the Lord with out loud enthusiasm. Serve the Lord with out loud enthusiasm. Out loud enthusiasm. I hate mute mouth Christians. Okay, I don't hate you. I hate this sin in your life. I hate this sin in your life. I'm talking about some of you men. Look right up here. You just not like your pastor. But I think the Bible says, preach the word, be in season, out season. Reprove, rebuke. Okay? And sometimes preaching is reproving and rebuking, and you've sat in church for 25 years and you've never said an amen out loud. You're wrong. Look at me. You're wrong. You're wrong in your spirit. Okay? I mean, this isn't the first time you've heard it preached, so you know better. But you're just resistant to it. You hide behind, well, that's the way God made me. I know I've got some girls in the Christian school that hide behind that. Well, God just made me stubborn. That, no, they don't say that. You know what they say? They say, well, that's just how I am. What you're saying when you say that's how I am is you're blaming God for it. So God created you stubborn. No, he didn't. Because stubbornness is a sin. It's just hide behind, well, that's just how I am. That's just my personality. If your personality is keeping you from obeying the Bible, then you need to change your personality. Why don't you get the personality of the Holy Spirit? Why don't you get the personality of Jesus Christ? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What I'm saying is this. Listen, I'm talking about serving the Lord without loud enthusiasm. Visitors at Blessed Hope Baptist Church on a Sunday morning do not believe, and haven't for several months, that the men of this church are behind their preacher and in agreement with most of what he preaches, except for a very few of you. And that's horrible. That's criminal. That's quenching the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. I'll even take a lady amen. Some of you don't believe in that, and I'm fine with it. My mama amens me, and so you know what? My mama does it, it's okay. Maybe she wouldn't have to if you all would just kind of speak up a little bit. If you don't like hearing the ladies, then just out amen them, amen, all right. Now, I'm talking about living and serving the Lord with an out loud enthusiasm. Tell me that's not in here. Make a joyful noise. You know what? I like this. I wrote this down. Christians ought to be a joyfully noisy bunch. It's a just a joyfully noisy bunch. You know, I think about when I think joyfully noisy, I think of the youth trips we've taken in the past. And, you know, you get on a bus with a bunch of crazy teenagers and we're cooped up, especially on these long over-the-road trips, and they're cooped up on that bus, and we finally get out and they go into a restaurant, and you know what? They're talking, and everybody's talking and nobody's listening, and everybody's laughing and they don't know what they're laughing about. And they're just glad to be out of the bus, and they're talking in the restaurants, or they're talking in the gas station, or they're kidding, giving each other a hard time. And you know what the world does? They stand there, and they stare, and they look, because they, listen, some of you young people that are determined to be missionaries to our youth group in this matter of let's see if we can ridicule anybody that absolutely will speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ or act excited about the Lord. Let me tell you something. You need to get right with God. That's a wicked sin in your life. Why aren't you excited about the Lord? Why does it bother you when somebody else says? By the way, folks, listen to me. What I'm addressing with young people is true sometimes in the adults also. Who are you critical of? Who really rubs you the wrong way? Who do you think needs to just settle down a little bit? Now, what I'm saying is this. This Bible right here says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. That sounds like to me there's some noise happening. Sounds like to me there's a clatter. Christians ought to be a joyfully noisy bunch. Be glad and excited to serve the Lord and be verbal about it. Sing as if you were in the presence of God himself. Isn't that what it says? Come before his presence with singing. By the way, let me say this. You are in his presence when you come here. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'm in the midst. Why wouldn't we sing as if Jesus Christ was standing right on the platform watching us? You think one of these days when we get to heaven, and you know what, they get to bursting out and singing, you with Jesus watching, you don't think you're going to be singing at the top of your voice? Well, he's watching. He was watching this morning, and he was watching in a congregational song tonight, and he'll be watching Wednesday night. Why don't we come before his presence with singing? Amen. Verbally praise the Lord every day of your life. Doesn't it say that at the end, enter to his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise? Enter into church praising the Lord, excited. I mean a joyfully noisy bunch. Serve the Lord without loud enthusiasm. And anybody that wants to ridicule you about that or put you down about that or laugh about you or mock you, listen, you don't have a problem. They got the problem. Just double up and irritate the snot out of them. Amen. Number three, let me give you this. We'll close out. Embrace a proper relationship with God. How to have the best spirit of your life. Embrace a proper relationship with God. Serve the Lord with an out loud enthusiasm. Number three, never let anyone or anything steal your thankful spirit, your thankful heart. The last part of this closes out with an admonition. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And those references to the gates and to the courts is talking about the Israelites on the Sabbath day as they entered into the worship services. Folks, listen to me. We had to come in a spirit of thanksgiving. We ought to come with a spirit of praise. Listen, let me help you with something. I'm going to teach you something right now. And I want you to listen, and then I'll close her down. But listen to me. This is an easy church to come to. Let me say it again. This is an easy church to come to. Let me say it again. This is an easy church to come to. If you are doing right or want to do right. This is an easy church. I hear people say, well, people just don't understand how hard it is for us to come to Blessed Hope. It's an easy church to come to if you're doing right or want to do right. It's a little bit harder church to come to if you're doing wrong or want to do wrong. By the way, just because it's hard, it's still the best place for you to be. Because if you're doing wrong or wanting to do wrong, the best place for you to get help is at a church like Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Not to go find a church that okays wrong. Are you with me so far? Let me break it down for you. I'm going to give you three things. This is an easy church to come to. Listen, I don't drag myself here. Okay? I mean, I kind of hop and jump and I don't skip. That's a little gay, but I'm excited to come here. I'm pumped about coming here. I'm not trying to think of reasons. You know what, folks? When I was at home last Wednesday night, and listen, I hardly ever miss. And you know, I'm not whining because a lot of people have been sicker than I have been, and this same flu bug's getting everybody. But I don't know if I've been that sick in 30 years as I was for a couple days this week. And I mean, you would be glad I was not here. And if you're that sick, please, I'll be glad if you're not here, all right? I'll understand. But I'm going to tell you something. It drove me crazy. I mean, my church is going on. My people, my family's gathered. And wonder what's happening. I kept looking at the clock. I mean, come on. If you've gotten to the point where it's hard to come here, you need to find out why it's hard to come here. Okay, because when you were doing right and excited about doing right, it wasn't hard for you to come here. So if you're, listen, it's an easy church to come to if you want to do right and you're excited about doing right. It's a harder church to come to if you are doing wrong or wanting to do wrong. But it's still the best church to come to, even though it's harder, because this is where you'll learn and be helped to get back to wanting to do right and doing right. Now let me give you the third one. It's an impossible church to come to if you're doing wrong, wanting to do wrong, and wanting to spend your life trying to get other people to do wrong. Then it becomes an impossible church to come to. You know why? Because I'm a shepherd. And I have a rod and I have a staff. And I've said this right to people's eyeballs before. You want to mess your life up, mess your life up. You want to become a missionary to try to help other people mess their life up, me and you are going to have an issue. I've knocked on doors. I've walked in living rooms. I'm not afraid to do it. Okay? I'm going to protect Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so the best thing to do is turn that thing around. Why don't you get back over here? Remember, by the way, weren't you a lot happier? I know you smiled a lot more. Come on. I mean, you didn't look like you were having a root canal back in those days, you know. When you wanted to do right. And that doesn't mean we always do right. But I mean, we want to at least do right. We're doing right or we're trying to do right. This is an easy church to come to. If you want to do wrong or are doing wrong, it's not easy to come here, but it is the most important place for you to be. If you go from sin to evil and decide you're going to come here and just see how many people and other young people or other families you can mess up, I'm going to make it an impossible place for you to come to. And by the way, I got Bible to stand firmly on everything I just said. I know this book when it comes to this. I know the book when it comes to my responsibilities. Now, what I'm saying is this. What happened? How do people go from here to here to here? They lost their thankful spirit. Remember, you used to be thankful for your pastor? Thankful for your pastor's wife? Who's turned your heart? Remember when you liked to see us? You weren't avoiding us? Remember when you came in excited about the next thing on the calendar? What I'm saying is this, folks, listen to me. 2017 can be the greatest year Blessed Hope Baptist Church has ever had. And I've told you how. Psalms 1, Psalms 23, Psalms 100. We all get on the same page in those three psalms. Look out, devil, you're in for a fight. Because there's going to be some really neat things happen in 2017. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, dear Lord, for this, the opportunity to meet. Boy, this is, Lord, an exciting time for me. I like the beginning of a brand new year. I thank you, dear Lord, for the clear vision that you've given me for the church and some of the things that we're going to try to accomplish. And Lord, I know the devil listens to and he takes notes and everything that's on the calendar he's going to try to fight. But Lord, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Lord, we can say that with great confidence. And Lord, if it's your will and your way, then we can go forth boldly, knowing, dear Lord, that you'll produce the sometimes impossible, Lord. Lord, and make it possible. And I ask, dear Lord, that you'd help us. Lord, thank you for these three psalms. May our hearts be turned to them this week. Lord, bless the invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name.